Let's talk to freelance travel writer Tommy Walker from Stockton, who's been travelling the world for the past 5 years. What a great job you've got then.
Yeah, I've got a bit of a good job. A lot of people sort of refer it to living the dream, I guess. But it's a good thing, really.
So how do you get started then as a freelance travel writer?
Well, look, I mean, I started travelling, basically. I mean, travel writing is essentially about travel experience. So if you've travelled far and wide to a variety of different countries, travel editors of magazines, publications will obviously look for you to tell interesting stories and guides. And so I just travelled a lot, started blogging, practicing like that, and then reached out to a few companies. Now it's became, my full-time job, my business. So
how does it work then? Because presumably, do you, in return for giving a review, then you get the holiday?
Well,
is that the way it
works? I mean, there's a big, slight misconception. I mean, some companies, if they're a tour company, for example, want you to represent them, they'll pay for you in exchange for some articles, for some social media sort of exposure. A lot of the time, how I work is I freelance, so I'm actually just paid to work. So I'll write about destinations, guides for online magazines, sometimes newspapers, tour companies, insurance companies, things like that. So a lot of my work is actually just work, basically. It's marketing content. But there is, obviously, some companies will send you away, in exchange for representing them.
So the question you must get asked all the time is, where is the best place you've ever been to?
Well, it depends. I mean, I think when I first went to Southeast Asia, Thailand, it just opened so many doors and opened my eyes as well. So that's always sort of quite fond in my memories for travel destinations. There's other places in the world which, been to, the Galapagos in Ecuador, amazing wildlife, things like that. Australia is a great country. I know you've been great country.
Yeah,
you know,
I loved it.
Yeah, brilliant.
I think
place.
I could live in Sydney. It's just that it is a long, long,
it's a long,
long way.
Way
away.
It's a long. It is a long way. It is a long way. And I understand, obviously, people can be put off by the many hours of traveling on a plane. But I mean, there's a whole world out there. Going back to that, favorite countries, I would say Thailand. Galapagos Islands and Ecuador as a destination, and then Australia.
Where do you think is the most underrated place then?
The most underrated place? I think the Philippines, actually. Yeah, because it's one of them destinations, in comparison to Thailand, when you're traveling to the Philippines, anyone who's listening who's been there, to get around is a little bit difficult. It's not just like driving on mainland. You have to get boats and sometimes fly. It's made of thousands of different islands. So people really, even if they're backpacking that area or traveling the rest of Southeast Asia, they can be like, the Philippines, it seems a little bit more of an effort. But when you get there, that place is paradise. Like the islands and the beaches are easily some of the best in the world.
Is it expensive?
No, for the pound, obviously, for our currency, from Western currency, it's cheap, So, most of Southeast Asia is. But the Philippines, it's as cheap as, as affordable as Thailand or, something like that.
So what do you make of these people who tend to go back to the same place time and time again when there is a whole world to explore?
Well, I mean, look, it's about each to their own, I mean, I guess if people want to sort of, experience the same thing and sort of have that, reliability, then I understand that. But I think in today's day and age, it feels like it's the travel boom. There's so many cheap flights you can get nowadays. There's so many deals.
Not as cheap as they were, though, are they?
They're not as cheap as they were, but there's still, I mean, if you think, if you get on a big plane to go to a destination's new, and you only something. I mean, if you go with EasyJet or Jet2, Ryanair, some of these prices are £30-40. So, look, I mean, generally it is the travel era. A lot more people are traveling. Social media's amplifying it a lot more. You can see places from across the world. And I just think that the biggest misconception is that things aren't as safe or as easy as further parts in the world. Where, English. If we're blessed, because if you speak English, it's most people's second language, so you can get around easier than you think. You talked about, obviously, food, and that's an important thing for you.
It's a big thing for me.
It's a big thing for you, yeah. But, I mean, generally, most destinations do amazing food, and cater to travellers and tourists and things like that. So, look, I mean, if you want to broaden your horizons and see a little bit more culture, then definitely sort of, take the leap to another country, because, like I said, there's a big world out there. It's more accessible now than it ever has been. We can get to places quicker. And, I just think it's, if you want to see the world, then now's the time to do it, really.
Having said that, food is a very important part of the holiday for me.
Food is, it is.
I hit my limit in China.
Did you?
I have to say, yes, because I really couldn't bring myself to eat
Really?
Birds.
Okay, well,
insects on sticks. all that sort of thing, which, of course, is the true staple of the Chinese diet. It's nothing like you would get at the Chinese takeaway in this country. That is an invention for the Brits.
Mm.
So I hit a bit of a brick wall, actually, with food in China.
Well, they say, I mean, isn't it forecasted that in years to come we're all going to be eating bugs and things like that because they're actually rich sources of protein? But yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, when you put it that way, it doesn't sound as appealing as your local Chinese, you know, takeaway.
Yeah,
but
they will eat anything.
They will eat anything. You know, they eat dogs as well, which is terrible. But anyway, I mean, look, different cultures, you know, everyone has their own reasons. But
I think I'm right in saying that people worry about traveling the world because they won't be able to speak the language.
Mm.
And when I went to Beijing, I wasn't there for a long time, only there for a couple of weeks. But during that time, because the population of the country is just huge, we didn't see a single Westerner in that time in Beijing, which surprised me.
Yeah.
But having said that, you know, we could make ourselves understood in English somehow.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't let people be put off, should
you? No, absolutely. I mean, you know, a lot of people have asked me when I was over in Asia, you know, oh, did you speak the language? Well, no, but you got to think most of the world look at the UK and the US as sort of, you know, people to look up to. So people generally speak languages, and tourism's a huge sort of factor of income in a lot of countries. So obviously the locals in a lot of countries will make the effort to speak English, and the tourism companies will, you know, have that ability to do it. So I wouldn't be put off by the language barrier. You will get by, you know, if you just be a little more patient. I mean, I don't know if anyone's going to understand the Teesside accent, you know what I mean? So maybe, you know, you have to be a little bit more patient. They have to be patient with you. You have to be patient with them, sort of thing. So,
would you ever go on a package holiday?
Would I ever go on one? Depends to where. Depends where.
Where would you go on a
where
package
would I,
holiday?
Where would I go? Okay.
All inclusive? You're not liking this suggestion, are you? As an independent traveller, you are not liking this suggestion.
I don't know. Maybe Cuba. I would say Cuba. Just because I've been there before, and it can be, it's one of the places which is quite popular at the moment, but it can be a little bit difficult to do it even independently for the most experienced traveller. So I think having everything done and dusted for you in Cuba on a package holiday might be a little nice. But it's a difficult one for me, to be honest. I can't fathom it, to be honest.
You don't like being in an organised group.
Yeah, I think for me personally, again, it's each to their own, but me personally, I like to explore on my own watch, you know, and do things independently. That's sort of the thrill of travelling and going on holiday. But, you know, I guess it depends what you want. If you want something new and, you know, the novelty, then do things on your own. Go to some cultures and countries that, you know, are a little bit further afield. You know, if you want everything done and dusted for you and you want to just purely relax, then that's fine. That's up to you. But I would always encourage independent travel.
So where are you off to next?
I'm hoping to go to Morocco in a couple of weeks, and then I'm going to spend a month in Portugal. Because I'm a freelancer, I can kind of work wherever, so I'm quite lucky.
Is it as good as it sounds?
Yeah.
Or do you get fed up of, you know, constantly being on a plane?
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, nah, it's an amazing thing, you know, it's what I've worked towards. And, of course, just being flexible to work, you know, when and where is a great thing to have, you know, so absolutely, you know, really fortunate and blessed, really.
Tommy, good to talk to you.
Yeah, good to speak to you as well.
Tommy Walker from Stockton, who's been travelling the world for the past 5 years, is a freelance travel writer.